Today's episode is dedicated to my mother for her 70th birthday. If you're a frequent listener, you'll note that I refer to her a lot. But if a man can't love his mommy, then there's something wrong with you for thinking otherwise.
This is Structured Rambling, a podcast about ideas from literature and about literature. Episodes can focus on a single text or a theme from multiple texts. My name is Paul Sonstaby. Welcome.
This episode is a follow-up to my last episode, which was a combined analysis of the novel by Jan Martel called Life Pi and the film by Tim Burton called Big Fish, comparing the idea of the better story. So this episode is kind of a footnote, an appendix, if you will. And it's a story I always tell my students when I finish teaching Life Pi and Big Fish, if I happen to do that. You don't really have to know either text, so if you didn't listen to those episodes, that's fine. If you didn't listen to the prior episode, I should say, or any of my other episodes, you don't have to know that to get what's going on here. So I'm adding it as a super special bonus episode. The film Big Fish ends with the song Man of the Hour by my favorite band, Pearl Jam, playing over the end credits. Now, this is a song by the greatest band of all time about saying goodbye to someone after you have lost that someone. And it's got a particular male connection, father, son, grandfather, uncle, man of the hour. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory now that I've explained it itself. When both song and movie came out, they hit me pretty hard for their serendipity. Let's back it up to the late 1990s. My maternal grandfather, Lucien, who we all nicknamed Papa Lou, had begun writing his autobiography, which was not so much an autobiography as a memoir of the times he had lived through. He had lived through the Great Depression on the Saskatchewan prairies. His father had immigrated into Saskatchewan from St. Boniface, Manitoba, from Quebec. His family was originally from Adet-de-la-Pointe in France. In truth, the whole thing was a series of vignettes that he was worried about being forgotten after he died. We worry about our legacies in life, but the littlest thing that you know may once in a while strike you as a, what's going to happen to this knowledge when there is no me anymore? All of us have something like that. What's it like listening to Soundgarden Spoon Man for the first time in a grain truck, watching the Saskatchewan sunset over top of stubble fields during harvest in, I think, 1994? Now, granted, that's very specific, but that's what vignettes are. When I was about a year into my university career, Grandpa asked me to take on the task of essentially ghostwriting this autobiography for him. He had all these stories. He needed someone to say, and as he said it to me, he just needed somebody to put in the adjectives. That was our running joke the whole time. I just need you to put in the adjectives. I was neither very mature nor very organized, focused on my first few years of my undergrad degree, and, you know, on my social life in the city for the first time. Every now and then I'd peck away at a few of the stories and was able to present Grandpa a few drafts over time. One special moment was reading one of them out loud at a family reunion in the year 2000, which he then edited and gave back to me with some minor corrections, and some major corrections too, for that matter, but we went back and forth for a bit. So within a year of that, I finished university, traveled Europe, moved around a bit, farmed, and then moved to Taiwan. While I was in Asia, my grandmother, Lucien's wife, who I'd always been more close to than I can express, passed away. This was an exceptionally hard time for me. I was on the other side of the world. I tried desperately to get back. I could not arrange it in time to get to Canada in order to get to the funeral in Medicine Hat, Alberta, and there was a major blizzard that weekend anyways, and I probably wouldn't have even landed in time had the worlds moved so that I could get to that funeral. That was an exceptionally hard time for me. In that time, I'd also lost a great aunt. My father's brother would be diagnosed with cancer, and one of my best friends would die in a car accident on December 11th, 2002. I decided to move home for Christmas of that year, mostly to see, well, I shouldn't say mostly, I wanted to come home, but one of the great moments that made me decide to come home in time for Christmas instead of after was to see the look on my grandpa's face when I opened the door and surprised him on Christmas Eve because he didn't know I was coming home. That spring, I spent a lot of time with grandpa. He was halfway between my new job and my parents' farm and a nice break in a 5-hour drive, and he was desperately lonely. Every time I was there, he'd find some job for me to do, something for me to fix, or some reason for me to stay for supper, or he'd offer me a beer, and then he'd offer me a second beer and say, well, you really shouldn't drive, you should spend the night, and we'd peck away at that book. It was a really hard time for him, his year as a widower, and I was really glad to spend some of the time with him. In June of that year, he died suddenly. And in the way that these things work out, I was just starting on my own big boy life when he left life altogether. As they dealt with the estate, we grandkids got various things, they being my mother and her sisters and her brother. We grandkids were given various, you know, heirlooms. I got a lot of furniture for my new big boy apartment, most especially a reclining chair of my grandmother's that I still today sit in to read, and it is a very precious thing to me. I also got my grandfather's wedding ring. My mother saw something in this as I am the eldest male grandchild. It's a precious thing, but I had no association with it prior to seeing it, because my grandfather, like my father and most practical Saskatchewan farmers, never wore his wedding ring for fear of risking catching it on some machinery. His own brother Lionel had nearly ripped his finger off for wearing his wedding ring on the farm. It's just not done. Within 2 years of my grandpa's death, I myself was engaged to be married. When my fiancé and I had our own wedding rings made, we took a small clip of the yellow gold from grandpa's wedding band and had it melted down within our own white gold wedding bands. I'll come back to this. In that first big boy apartment of mine, 90% of what I owned came from my grandparents. Every day I'd sit at a big wooden desk my grandpa had used. My favorite reading chair is that recliner I inherited from my grandma, complete with cigarette burns and coffee stains. One time, years after owning it, I was cleaning a deep recessed sort of compartment that I didn't know existed in the bottom of it, and I found 100 old discarded Kleenexes, one knitting needle, and several Lego pieces. I assume the Lego pieces were descended from grandchildren and probably great-grandchildren, and I know those Kleenexes couldn't possibly have been carrying any germs on them. But that knitting needle, that'll make a guy emotional. Encouraged by my grandfather's surviving sisters, I went about finishing the edits to his book. This was not easy work now that he was gone, because his spirit loomed over my shoulder every time I set to working on it. And I heard his voice in my head. I heard his words, Every time I wrote an adjective, I thought of him. Everything was written in his handwriting in pencil and pen. Handwritten. That's a particular feeling, reading somebody's handwriting. The handwriting of a person who is gone. In fact, it made me recall a story that he had told me, I think around the time of my paternal grandmother's funeral. Grandpa said he didn't remember crying following his own father's death. But the spring after my great-grandfather died, Grandpa drove out into a field of summer fallow, of stubble, and saw his father's wheel tracks from a truck in that stubble. And that, he said, got to him. It's funny the way ghosts come to us. So the following spring, about a year after my grandpa died, there was more of this serendipity. I had been dating the woman who'd become my wife, and I would write and mark at that desk, that big desk that Grandpa that I'd got from him. And that spring, Pearl Jam released that song, Man of the Hour. Here was my favorite band releasing what's essentially a funeral song, but in the celebration of life. My grandpa was on my mind. Consider the following lines. Quote, "And the doors are open now as the bells are ringing out because the man of the hour is taking his final bow. Goodbye for now. And the road the old man paved, the broken seams along the way, the rusted signs left just for me. He was guiding me, love, his own way." Now that song was released to accompany the film Big Fish by Tim Burton, which I discussed in this prior episode. Essentially, it's the story of a dying old man who tells stories, episodic and disjointed, while his son, a writer, seeks the truth before eventually coming to see the better story as embellished storytelling. That spring, I would finish Grandpa's book, but I would also fictionalize a couple of those episodes, embellishing a story of a dead body frozen in a sod house for publication. I would, as my grandpa had said, fill in the adjectives. His story would lay the groundwork. I would build a house. And I'm mixing my metaphors, but let's just say the house would sell, but not in a very strong market. I don't know. 2 years later, at our wedding, my wedding to my wife, to be redundant, there would be a lot of songs. We are musical people. We say things through poetry. We're a musical pair. Our first dance was to Into the West by Annie Lennox. Our future lay in this West together. And there's a certain pathos to that song as well. Both Joelle and I had lost a best friend in a car accident in the year before we met. Again, there's a bitter serendipity, if there is such a thing. It's a song about hope, about longing, about the things that are bittersweet, and it cannot go unmentioned that it comes from our mutual love of the Lord of the Rings. Now, after that, I got up and said a few words, and with me, a few words is never a few. I held up my new wedding ring and explained to everyone there that it contained that piece of Grandpa's wedding ring, that my story now held within a piece of it a much older story, permanently. I conjured the memories of the people who weren't there with us. My grandmother, my grandfather, my other grandmother, my good friend, my wife's good friend. And then I played me some Pearl Jam.
Father, he enjoys. was the man of the hour, taken his final bow by phone.
Thank you for listening today, and if you enjoyed my podcast, please feel free to give me a rating and review. Episodes come out at the beginning and middle of pretty much every month. Have a great day.